She gazes at the distant horizon, as though trying to recreate the embrace of tender, protective feelings and memories. A silk scarf, swelled by a gust of wind like a sail, forms a frame around her face. It would have already been blown away were she not holding it firmly in place with her hand. It's the only sign of strength in the naked body of this woman, nestled in the valve of a huge shell. You can't make out her contours in the faint light of dawn. And you couldn't anyway, since her beauty is made up of thousands of small stone tiles that form her curves in the center of a room. This elegant mosaic of Venus in a shell is gradually caressed by a distant rustle, that of a fine gown brushing the floor as it approaches. All of a sudden, it stops, and, as softly as a feather, a small, well-cared-for foot steps on Venus's hip. It lingers on the mosaic for a moment, then resumes its walk across the room quietly, accompanied only by the murmur of the gown on the floor. With every step, the snow-white dress sways in tandem with the body, like a dancer clinging to his beloved. This regular movement is conducted by the hips, which surface for a second through the whiteness of the tunic, like dolphins emerging from the water before plunging back and vanishing again, giving the long folds just a few seconds to resume their elegant arrangement. The tunic seems to float in the semi-dark corridor, the obscurity pierced only by a few beams of light, rhythmically projecting the glow of the gown on the frescoes covering the walls like a luminous caress that touches the paintings as lightly as a cloud. Heading to a remote window, the form is silhouetted against the light. The tunic then seems to dissolve and turn into a luminous halo around the body, that of a 25-year-old woman, small, slender enough, but very curvy. Her every move suggests an indefinable blend of harmony, voluptuousness, and elegance that gives rise to a deep sensuality. She walks slowly, and the pattern traced in the air by her hips does the rest. This woman's allure is as impalpable as the trail of perfume in her wake. And, just like with a scent, her true secret lies not so much in her beauty as in the feelings she arouses in those near her. It is a secret she has learned to dose and use with skill, just like the healing potions and poisons she mastered a long time ago. She is Cleopatra. Contrary to popular belief, her name is not Egyptian, but Greek. It means father's glory, in the sense of glorious lineage, from the Greek kleos, glory, and patros, of the father. Cleopatra isn't actually Egyptian, but Greco-Macedonian. She belongs to a dynasty of invaders who have occupied the Egyptian throne for almost 300 years, the Ptolemaic dynasty, with different customs and a different language, Greek. Her full name is Cleopatra Thea Philopator, literally Cleopatra, the goddess who loves her father, from the Greek Thea, goddess, and Philopatera, who loves her father. Although we perceive her name as unique in history and belonging to an equally unique queen, she was not the only one to be called that. We know of six others preceding her, which is why, to avoid any confusion, modern historians refer to her as Cleopatra the Seventh. Why were there so many Cleopatras? The reason is that it was customary among the Ptolemies to use recurring dynastic names, like the French kings did with Louis. Consequently, the princesses invariably had one of these three names: Arsinoe, Berenice, or Cleopatra.